You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
The key to the book of Nehemiah is not the vision that he had to rebuild the gates and the walls, not the tenacity that he had and expected out of those who worked with him. No, the key to Nehemiah is that Nehemiah never left his vision. He would not come down and engage with foolishness. And even when people threatened him, instead of calling a prayer meeting, he armed the workers. Can you imagine you're laying bricks and block up on the wall and you got a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other? Would to God you and I were that militaristic. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence and the violent taketh it by force. And instead of being perpetual victims, we would be victors. Now I need to have you shift your mindset from that of constant peace and tranquility to that of war. Jesus promises us in John's gospel that in the world you will have tribulation. The tribulation, the purpose of the tribulation is that it comes from God to give you patience. But he also declared that we would be in constant warfare. This is given to us by direct translation of the Bible and also by implied meaning of certain things taught to us. No child of God advances without a battle. No child of God gets something new from the Lord without some kind of battle. The tribulation comes from God. The battle comes from the devil. What the devil says is, I see where God is going to take you. Now, you think he doesn't know, but he does know. There are two things that let the devil know that God is about to do something in your life. Number one, he can tell when God is about to do something in your life by the amount of tribulation you go through. He has scripture to support his theory. He looks at the life of Joseph. He saw that God wanted Joseph to be the number two ruler in Egypt. So he saw that God had Joseph be thrown in a pit and then taken out of the pit to be sold into slavery, to be falsely accused and thrown into the prison. He could not stop the situations from happening, and so Joseph just kept his character in place. God isn't going to call you and then isolate you from trials and battles. What he's going to do is see if your character will stay in place. Just because you're going through, does that mean you stop coming to church? No, you come in the church with aggravation and leave with joy. Are you hearing me? The second thing, let me get to this quick. The second thing that the devil notices is angelic activity around you. The Bible supports this. Whenever an angel begins to do something on you, around you, or for you, Satan says something's about to happen. God does not send angelic support unless something is about to happen. So let me get in their face. Let me get in their world. Let me get in their finances. Let me get in their health and try to slow them down. Watch. I can't stop the plan of God, but I can frustrate the people so that the planner won't let them have the plan. And what you've got to do is understand that when the warfare increases, that's a sign to you that something good's about to happen. Oh my God, let me move on. That was two. The third thing that he begins to notice, oh my God, this is going to bless some of you. Some of you are going to be blessed by the third one. You were just sitting there melancholy for the first two, but the third one's going to bless you. Satan knows that whenever God lets you hit bottom, he's about to bring you to the top. He knows that. He's got scripture to prove it. So if you lost your job last week, go to praising God, because he's about to drop a blessing on you that will let you know, watch, you don't need that job. So the devil's going to have you focus on the fact that you got laid off and you're going to miss the blessing that's coming your way. Child of God, we're in a battle. Oh, Lord. Watch this. The battle is not for your position. The Bible said nobody can pluck you out of his hand. So it's not for your position. It's for your mindset. It's for your attitude. Lord, help me. Oh, God. I had to go to the dentist last week. I chipped the tooth, and I had to go to the dentist. And I had a choice of two. I have a modern dentist that I go to that uses all modern stuff. He's got a television up on the ceiling. When they lay you back in your chair, they give you the direct TV remote, and you can put on what you want. My. Ah, Lord. I mean, they got sodas in this place. The places, they got a coffee machine when you come in. It is fly. They still say fly? I don't know. They don't say that no more. It's dope, right? What do you say now? In my day, it was boss. I don't know what y'all say, but it's a fancy schmancy place. And you go in there, and I go in. Oh my Lord, they just treat you like you're God with clothes on. But I go to him for cleaning stuff that don't cause me no pain. Cause when you got to get some stuff done, he give you needles. And them darn needles hurt. There's no needle in my gum. But when I have something that's going to cause me pain, I go to my old dentist. He don't have television in the whole shop. In his rooms, they're just pictures dated 1962. The chair is old. The stuff is old. He's old. Everything is old. The drills are old. Everything's original equipment. But he has nitrous oxide. When I sit in his chair and he says to me, oh, we're going to have to drill that. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to have to fix you with the nitrous. Glory. I can handle anything. I say, go ahead, doc. Go ahead. And he likes to talk while he giving me the nitrous. I don't want to be rude, but I'm like this. Let me enjoy my high. Lord, he drilled and pushed and pulled. I can't even hear him. I see angels dancing, doing the Hava Nagila. You understand what I'm saying? When it's time to go through with God, you can have the bougie church, the church that just sits there and goes, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Or you can have the old church that knows how to praise him, that knows how to lift you to the place where you don't feel the pain anymore, where you can praise God through the difficulties. Satan don't want that. He wants you newfangled Christians. He wants you new Christians. And God hit you with pain. Lord, why am I going through? No, God wants you to be like the old-fashioned Christian. When something hits you, you say, thank you. I'm counted worthy. Something good's about to happen. Every time there's pain, I'm about to give birth. Some of you right now are in labor. Your situation is so bad, you can't even stand up. But I'm here to tell you that there is an obstetrician who's going to help you give birth to the glory of God. Don't cry because you're going through. Rejoice! Let the devil know he can't beat you. Let him know you have hope. Let him know that, listen, it is not what it is. It is what God said it is. I ain't gonna let the devil tell me it is what it is. No, it ain't. It's what God said it is. And God said he would back up what I say. And I'm not saying it is what it is. It is I'm more than a conqueror. It is I'm the righteousness of God. It is by his stripes I'm healed. It is he will supply all my need. It is. Tell your neighbor, that's what it is. If you let the devil keep throwing sickness on you, you're going to be sick. If you let the devil keep throwing despair on you, you're going to be depressed. If you let the devil keep telling you you're no good, you're never going to be lifted. But today, as of right now, you tell the devil it isn't what it is. It is what God said. And I'm saying what God said. God said I'm healed by his stripes. God said I'm delivered by the blood of Jesus. God said I am more than a conqueror. God said I'm the head and not the tail. God said I have the ability to lend and not to have to borrow. That's what it is. For the last 3 weeks, I've been getting hit by satanic attacks like I never thought it would happen. I'm not talking about stuff happening, breaking down cars. No, I'm talking about inside. But you know what I said? I must be doing damage. He wouldn't fight so hard if I wasn't doing. Ow! You got a three-year-old boy, little three-year-old cute boy, walk up to you and tell you, I'm going to punch you in the mouth. Can't even reach your mouth. You look at him and laugh. You don't get your narrow behind somewhere and sit down because you know they can't hurt you. That's how you got to look at the devil. Devil, you can't even touch me if God don't allow it. And if God allows it, he has already given me the power to overcome. You ain't touching something that has not been sanctified. You're not touching something that doesn't already have power. I've got power. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So bring it. Bring it. The devil is like Apollo Creed. He thought he could beat Rocky based on his reputation. He thought Rocky would get into the ring and see him do all that fancy stuff and fall down and say, oh, great Apollo. But see, Rocky didn't read those books. Rocky didn't know what Apollo could do. All Rocky knew was what he could do. Oh, I wish I had a church that could understand me. Rocky fought that man to the 15th round. Nobody ever stood up to him like that before. He lost it on a decision. But did you notice Rocky didn't care? I don't know if you ever watched the movie because you might be real saved. And blessed is the man that doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. But if you've ever backslid for about 2 hours and 10 minutes, and you saw that at the end of that fight, Rocky didn't care. You know why? Because he stayed the distance. Apollo was going nuts. And he won. But he was losing it because Rocky stayed the distance. The only question that Rocky had in the beginning of Rocky II when he wheeled himself into Apollo's room, he opened the door and he said, Apollo. He said, yeah, who is it? He said, me, Rock. He said, what is it? He said, I just want to know one thing. He said, what's that? Did you give me your best? Apollo said, yes. Rocky said, okay. Ow! Devil, did you give me your best? Do you have anything left? And I'm still praising God. You stole somebody's life that was close to me. You hit me with cancer. You hit me with diabetes. But I'm still praising God. Doctor told me I was on my way to a stroke. But I'm still praising God. Did you hit me with your best? Apollo wanted to fight him again, surrounded himself with all his people. And Tony, his manager, came over to him. And Apollo said, why you don't want me to fight this man? He got up and got closer. He says, you want the truth? He said, yeah. He said, I saw you beat that man like you never beat anybody before. And the man kept coming after you. Y'all didn't hear me. When the devil went to God and God said, have you considered Job? God said, he's an upright man. He fears me. Take your best shot. My question is, what did the devil say about you when he goes to God? And then what does God say about you? When the devil says, I caused them to have a car accident and they don't have a car and they won't come to church anymore. God says, I can't argue with you. But if God can say, but they took the bus, they caught an Uber, they will not be denied. And that's why I got a Maybach for them in December. They won't need Uber no more. I've got a $100,000 Mercedes just in the showroom that they won't have to pay for because they would not be defeated. I allow what they allow. I stop would they stop? Devil, you tried to stop my children, but they sang a praise anyway. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, even if God does not deliver me, I will not bow down. Nehemiah said, I ain't coming down for foolishness. I don't have time to deal with foolishness. I came in here to get a touch from God. I came in expecting something. I'm not walking out with the same limp I walked in with. So I don't even want to hear you negative Nellies. I don't want to hear you gossiping people. I don't want nothing to do with you. Listen, excuse the hand, but right now I'm trying to get my praise on. I'm at Jericho. And the only way to bring down the wall of Jericho is to shout a praise. I don't have time to listen to all these people who got nothing but negativity. I don't care who looking at you. I don't care who talked about you. I don't care who's in a position. All I know is he is high and lifted up. I don't care who's a deacon. I don't care who's an elder. All I know is he is lifted up. So I say, touch me, Lord Jesus. We're in a battle. Tell your neighbor, we're in a battle. Amen. Tell them, we're in a battle. Amen. I don't think some people know it. All soldiers down through history, when they enter the battle, they have a war cry. The Indians had a war cry. Everybody going into battle has a war cry. Christians are the only silent warriors. Even the 300 at the gates fighting against the Persians had a war cry. Well, I want to hear your war cry. I want the devil to know that he is not going to take over your lives. Your Jericho wall will not come down by the pristine silence of bougie Christians, but it will come down when you lose your dignity and give God your war cry. Your war cry says God is on my side and no weapon formed against me will prosper. I am in a battle. There's always noise accompanying deliverance, either before, during, or after. In the Word of God, you see illustrations for all three. The Bible says when they crossed over the Red Sea, Miriam got the ladies together and they began to make some noise. See, you have to let the devil know before you get in, you're ready to go in. Then you have to let him know while you're in, you didn't lose your joy. And then when you come out, you got to let him know it was God that brought you out. You didn't come out by counseling. You didn't come out by secular humanistic theories. You came out by God. And because you came out by God, you're going to give God a jubilant praise, a praise that causes you to lose your dignity. Hallelujah. This is my rifle. There are many like it, but this one is mine. From a distance, I can lock in on the enemy and pop him off while he's down the street. But then there are times when that rascal gets close to me. If he gets close to me, my method changes. I bring my rifle up, I put a bayonet on it, and I dare him to come closer. When he comes closer, we were taught that when the enemy comes near us, don't stand back here, but shuffle forward. That puts fear in that lying rascal. Why are you making noise when I'm about to kill you? With a horizontal butt stroke, attack. With a vertical butt stroke, attack. With a slash, attack. With a jab, attack. With a smash, attack. Every execution has noise. This is for a distance. This is when that rascal has the nerve to get close. Are you hearing me? From a distance, you throw the word at him. But if he dodges it and gets close, you lift your hands with a slash. Clap your hands, all ye people, with a horizontal butt stroke. Give him a wave off. Ow! The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Let me finish. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me. How does he get in? How does he get in? Paul tells us through the church at Corinth, one of the ways he gets in, that mouse gets in, is through division. Paul said, I wanted to give you great spiritual revelation, but you weren't ready. Why? Because there's too much conflict among you. You're fighting against each other for positions, jockeying for prestige and fame. Everybody wants to be close to the pastor. Well, you need to get close to God. Everybody wants a title. I mean, my God, I go to meetings with men that have earned PhDs, not honorary. Earned. Leading mega ministries. We sit down at the table. You don't hear reverend, minister, pastor, none of that. You hear, hey, Bill, Joe, I need that so-and-so from you. No problem, Rob. I'll have it for you next week. But us?
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Spiritual Warfare, or the program number 04219P. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294, and on the Word Network Monday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Today's culture needs the impact of the Word of God, and those who are called are tasked with handling the Word carefully. If you are one of the called, we invite you to get equipped at the next Making of a Minister training session with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and Pastor Brian Weatherspoon. You'll learn biblical and practical strategies for crafting sermons that are relevant to the body of Christ today. The Making of a Minister is taking place Saturday, June 15th at 10 a.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Admission is free, but you must RSVP to attend. Call 215-885-2585 to register today. That's 215-885-2585, or visit BethelDeliverance.org for more information. Ministers, come and learn how to challenge the culture through substantial teaching from the Word of God. We'll see you there.